You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
UFC 265 coming your way Saturday night. Derek Lewis and Cyril Gane squaring off for the interim heavyweight championship in the main event. Main card starts 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Prelims start at 8 on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and on ESPN Deportes. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio. Another hour here, as always, live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And we are busy on this Wednesday. Mike Tannenbaum is here. Kimberly Martin is here. Marcus Spears is rolling along with us as well. And there's a lot of football news to get to the day before the preseason begins. Roll it. Let's take a look at the menu for hour number two. It's time to get up with the Cowboys, where the D in Big D stands for Dak delayed. And maybe worse than that. It's a concern. We've got the latest. Then, before the season even begins, the Steelers are already looking ahead to next year. Does this make any sense at all? You'll hear what they're saying. And then, they need help in Indy. Two huge injuries. Might the answer come in the last place you were expecting them to look? All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now. Again, one day and counting away from the beginning of the 2021 NFL preseason. Cowboys-Steelers Hall of Fame game. And, of course, the big story going into that matchup, the injury to Dak Prescott's throwing shoulder. Originally, Coach Mike McCarthy said Prescott wouldn't throw for a few days. Now, it's going to be longer than that.
After the research and looking at it, we just don't want this to turn into something big. So it's he's doing everything that he possibly can, and but we're just being a little more conservative with his rehab. If it was in season, I think it'd be a different outlook, different focus. But this, because of where we are, having the extra week, we just want to make sure this doesn't turn into something bigger.
We just want to make sure this doesn't turn into something big, says Mike McCarthy. This an injury that a week ago I was told, he'll be back within a week, and here we are, it's a week later, and he's not back. Kimberly, what are you hearing from the people you talk to around the league about the level of concern for Dak coming off the injury?
I think Dallas is, given the company line, this is nothing like, this is about being cautious, making sure we're going to be conservative. I don't see how you don't look at this from the outside as big, because when was the last time we saw Dak Prescott, a healthy Dak Prescott, on the field? It's been a long time, almost a year. And I know a lot of people will say, just sit him, rest him all preseason. I get that. But I don't feel great about the idea of Dak facing live action for the first time in week one against Todd Bowles' Bucks defense. Mm-hmm. That's not the first time I would want to see Dak on the field. I would like to see him in the preseason. So the longer this goes on and the more rest he gets, I'm a little concerned.
Marcus, because you spoke earlier, again, Marcus, the former Cowboy, and I've never met a defensive player who was ever worried about an injury to a quarterback, and so you are predictably unconcerned.
Yep.
But let's talk about it. No one's suggesting he's not coming back.
No.
But the point is, this is a guy who's been out a long time. And now we may not see him on the field until that Thursday night opener against Devin White and Vita Vea and all these guys who make their living crushing quarterbacks. What do you think about that? At what point will this start to impact the Cowboys in your mind?
Well, listen, man, I don't think that it'll be the first time we see Dak back. And that's why I don't have concern. I don't think this is something that's going to linger into the regular season. I believe a conservative approach. You see that guy behind Dak, his name is Britt Brown. I spent a lot of time with Britt Brown. And when you're on those cards that we call them during practice and while practice is going on, that's an indication that you'll be back fairly soon. And I know it's the quarterback position, and I know what Dak has been through, but also Dak history tells me not to have concern. Dak Prescott, since I covered him at Mississippi State, is one of those guys who is going to play if his body allows him to play. Now, obviously, we saw the ankle injury, and we know that you have to go and have surgery and do all of that. I'm not concerned, y'all. And it's because, look, And maybe so. Maybe it's because I know of Dak's makeup. Maybe it's because I've seen him deal with these injuries and things go on when he was in college. I'm not overly concerned. I'll be concerned if we get to week one and then there's still talk about Dak needing some rest. That's when I'll be concerned. But right now, this much time out, no concern whatsoever because of Dak's makeup more than anything.
I get it. But your buddy Orlovsky was on here yesterday reminding everybody that the one thing a quarterback never gets the chance to do during a season is rest his arm. They throw basically every single day. So if they don't get this, to the point that Mike McCarthy was making, if they don't get this cleared up right now, it won't get cleared up at any point. So it does feel as though it is at minimum worth watching. Mike, take your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm concerned. And Marcus talked about how competitive Dak is. The fact that he's not practicing is telling us that's a little bit more significant than maybe they're laying on to. And remember, Coach Parcells always talked about quarterbacks throw with their legs. And for a year, he was rehabbing his leg. And because of that, his body mechanics are obviously out of whack. Mm-hmm. And there's a transition here. But the fact that this was going to be a day-to-day thing, and now that he still hasn't thrown, that is a concern.
Okay, we will see. So the Cowboys play the Steelers tomorrow night. We will not see Dak. We probably wouldn't have anyway. We will keep a very close eye and ear on his shoulder. In the meantime, let's talk about the team that they'll be playing, the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they had a very busy offseason, and much of it surrounded that man, Ben Roethlisberger, entering his 18th year in Pittsburgh at the age of 39. And while most of us have assumed this would be his last go-around, the Steelers president, Art Rooney II, isn't quite so sure. Talking to reporters yesterday, he said it's not written in stone that this is his last year. Obviously, if this is his last year, then next year we'll be making decisions on a quarterback and we'll address it as the time comes up. Now, there is no organization in sports that is more generally loyal to their people than the Pittsburgh Steelers, to wit. They've had three head coaches since 1969. But Mike Tannenbaum, you've been telling me for 2 years they need to move on from Ben Roethlisberger. Now here's the president saying he may have 2 years left. What do you think?
Man. I think they're loyal and they're making a mistake. They got the right guy in Mike Tomlin, a Hall of Fame coach that's, in my opinion, somewhat underrated in this day and age. Yeah. But Ben Roethlisberger, they're making the cardinal sin of they're paying someone for what he's done, not what he's going to do. And last year, he had a really fast clock in his head. Now with three new offensive linemen and a rookie running back who may be great, Greeny, but until we see him pass protect, that's not going to make the quarterback more comfortable. It'll make him less comfortable. And the bigger concern for Pittsburgh moving forward is this. You got three young ascending quarterbacks in the division, and now your uncertainty gets even bigger next year. When they're getting better, you're starting over.
I'm not arguing with you about the future, clearly. In the division, they're going to need to figure out something at quarterback long term. But for one season, I'm not ready to write off Big Ben or the Steelers this season. Marcus Spears, are you?
No. No chance. And look, Mike T in this GM mind frame, and you got to get a young quarterback in there to take the reins over from Ben. And I get it. I'm a part of that. That's why I didn't kill Green Bay for drafting Jordan Love, because at some point you need to start looking past the guy that's there now. Doesn't mean he's extinguished, but it means you're looking forward to when that day comes. Here's the thing for me, right? Ben is in that twilight of his career. He's in that point of his career where he needs to be supported by other facets of the offense. So that's why I'm like, look, if this offensive line is better, and I believe Najee will be fine running the football and in protection, play with Sarkisian in that offense. He understands a lot of NFL protection coming from Alabama. But the bottom line is this. If we go ask Ben to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game, that's not going to be conducive for any quarterback 39 years old. But if you couple that with a run game, if you put Ben back in the situation, we've seen him thrive in for so long in Pittsburgh, he still has a lot of juice left. Ben made some throws last year that were great, made some throws that were bad, like every other quarterback. But looking at Ben play last year and looking at this team as a whole, if the offensive line is fixed, this team is going to be a playoff football team, and would not shock me if they vying to win their division at the end of the season. I'm bullish on the Cleveland Browns. I love what Cleveland roster is. I like all of the things that they have going in Cleveland. We know what Baltimore is, but I'm not going to talk about this division without putting the Pittsburgh Steelers in there, especially if Big Ben is there and this offensive line is marketably better than they were last year.
I agree. Actually, Roethlisberger is one of the few players in the NFL old enough to remember what the Steelers of once upon a time were. They would beat you up. with their defense. They would run the football down your throat all day long. And that, I believe, is going to be their recipe this year, and let Big Ben manage the game and make plays. What do you see in Pittsburgh this year, Kimberly?
I'm not going to kill Big Ben like my colleague here. The issue for me is, when will Pittsburgh turn the clock? Like, when will they figure out the next plan? If Ben is here this year, if he's here next year, okay, now it feels like we're just kicking the can down the road a little bit longer than we probably should. This year I'm good with. Next year, I don't know. That seems a little dicey.
Well, the Steelers have never been a team generally that dives heavily into free agency, but there's a lot of quarterback movement out there in recent years. This might be a franchise that one of the guys who changes teams next year is interested in coming to. For what it's worth, they do have Dwayne Haskins on their roster, and I don't know exactly what that will be. He was a first-round pick not all that long ago. So maybe there will be some answers. But between now and then, they have a quarterback who you and I are going to have to work out a little wager on this. Tannenbaum and I are going to have to work out a little wager on the Steelers' upcoming season.
Mike T got Ben gone.
Exactly.
Mike T,
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Hey, man, go home today. Let the man play a season,
some investments here.
See what winds up. You're reading the mourner's cottage over his entire career already. We'll see how that winds up going. All right, four people got that. Kimberly, let me come to you. Let's run the hurry up. We got other news out there, and it begins in L.A. with Matthew Stafford. What's the deal?
Greeny, freaky injury for Matt Stafford. He hit his surgically repaired thumb on a helmet in practice. But the good news, he's fine, I'm told. He practiced fully. X-rays were negative. So thankfully, that is good news.
Next up is Kenny Golladay. I saw him limping off the field yesterday. What gives?
Finally, some good news for the Giants, because after that all-out brawl, Kenny Golladay was walking gingerly off the field. But it seems like the team is optimistic. More tests are coming, but they feel good about where he is.
They had an eventful day at Giants camp yesterday. But then there's the really bad news in Indianapolis with Quentin Nelson.
Greeny, what more could the Colts deal with? First Carson Wentz, now Quentin Nelson, all-pro guard. He's now dealing with the same Carson Wentz injury, right foot injury, in practice on Monday. He suffered the injury. 5 to 12 weeks they expect him to be out. That's a big timeline. And he, on Tuesday, he was in a boot. So if you're a Colts fan,
it gets as bad as it could possibly be, and I want to read this directly. I have it in my notes for the radio show today. Quentin Nelson, in case you're wondering, well, how big a deal can a guard be? He's one of five players to be a first-team All-Pro in each of his first three seasons since the merger, which is 1970. I mean, he's that level of good. So, Marcus, when we combine the foot injury to Wentz, 5 to 12 weeks, that's a big delta. Add the same injury to Quentin Nelson and the same time frame, 5 to 12 weeks. How would you describe the situation with the Colts right now?
Catastrophic, G. And listen, this is not a situation where a quarterback was traded for that was coming off a really good season and some stroke of luck you had the opportunity to get him. Carson Wentz needs this time. He needs this time in camp. He needs this time with his new teammates. He needs this time to get acclimated and try to remind himself that he played at a very high level before, surrounded by all of these guys. Then Frank Reich unfortunately had COVID, so he had to miss some time. And now we get the cue as well. Quentin Nelson. Listen, if Carson Wentz wasn't going to, well, optimistically, if Carson Wentz wasn't going to be the quarterback because of an injury and you had to go with Jacob Eason or Sam Ehlinger or whatever veteran you decided to bring in to hold the fort down, you were going to run the football. You were going to run it anyway, but you are now having an emphasis on being able to run the football in order to keep a young quarterback in the right headspace. And now you lose the guard that you want to run behind, that they use in pulling, that they use in the power run game and also the perimeter run game. Jonathan Taylor, the running back, had a tremendous season. Mack in the backfield as well. The problem with both of these injuries, obviously, is you losing two guys that you were going to rely heavily upon, but the Quinnen injury is emphasized because Carson is out, and you know the emphasis was going to be to run the football, and now you lose your best offensive lineman. Not to mention pass protection, I'm talking about what you were going to have to do to suffice until you were comfortable enough that Carson was back and be able to push the ball down the field a little bit more. We shall see how this play out, man, but I hope both of them back at the beginning of this season.
I'm with that, and this is a great job by the crew of showing you that video again. You can't overstate the importance of the loss of this particular offensive lineman, which sometimes fans don't fully have a grasp of just how important a player like that can be. And they have the hardest schedule in the NFL, the first 5 weeks of the season. So, Mike T, depending on how this thing breaks, they could wind up their season, which they could be thinking championship thoughts 2 weeks ago, they could get buried before it even barely begins.
Yeah, and I agree with what Marcus said. Quentin Nelson is that much of a difference maker, but that's why I would go get Nick Foles, Greeny, because he knows the offense, he's competent, he's not a world beater. There's a reason he's a third string, but to your point, you don't want to sit there 1-4, even though it's a 17-game season. So Nick Foles at $4 million and maybe a six-round pick, that may be the best way to stem the tide.
Okay, let's have this debate now, once and for all, because I'm dealing with three people who don't understand, it seems to me, the dynamics of being insecure. But that, you've now played directly into my strong suit, okay? So you brought Carson Wentz. Marcus, I'm looking right at you. You brought Carson Wentz to Indianapolis to resurrect him, not physically, but psychologically, yeah. Because Frank Reich is the guy who can do it, and an organization believing in him fully can do it. And if the day they brought him in, I said to you, what's the last thing on earth you would do if you're the Colts now? You would have jokingly said, I don't know, sign Nick Foles, and you would have laughed because it sounded so ridiculous. Now here we are, and people are telling me they should do it. Marcus, it doesn't make sense to me. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Gee, it's not ideal for Carson Wentz, but it's ideal for your team. See, here's the problem. Here's the problem. You fall for it, too, because you've been around Dan Orlovsky for a long time, and you've been around a lot of these quarterbacks, and y'all all want to worry about damn feelings and not realize that most defensive players and most big guys come from an entirely different place. That competition level. See, the problem is quarterbacks are usually already knowing that they'll be the starter. They already know going into camp that they don't have to fight for a position because the contract says whatever, or they don't have to fight for a position because the coach is my guy and we've been doing this for a long time. So y'all fall for it. And you are one of the biggest, G, of falling for it. The bottom line is the responsibility is to the team, to the rest of this damn roster, to do what's best for them to stay afloat until Carson Wentz can come back. I don't give a damn about how Carson Wentz would feel. I would care about being 0-5 in the first 5 weeks of the season more than I'm worried about how Carson feels about Nick Foles. And let me just do this so I can cap this and send it to Kim and Mike T. Because here's the deal. The deal is, yes, Nick Foles is in Chicago, buried at the third string. You know where the hell Carson Wentz would be based off his last season? Buried at the third string. So if we think Frank Reich can resurrect Carson Wentz, we damn sure gotta think that he can resurrect Nick Foles for 5 weeks to hold the fort down until Carson Wentz gets back. If Carson is in his feelings and that takes him away from being able to be a successful quarterback, that's a Carson Wentz problem. That ain't a Colts problem. So you, Greeny, and Dan, and Carson Wentz, go cry, because we trying to win games. We ain't worried about your damn feelings.
See, this goes directly back to what I was saying. Never ask a defensive player about a quarterback's feelings or injuries. But Kimberly, let me come to you.
Yes.
Let me try and appeal to you because you're a sensitive person. Quarterbacks are more like basketball players than they are like football players. Most football players, I agree, are like Marcus, and they just tell them where to show up and who to hit, and they go do that. But quarterbacks are a little different. You wouldn't do this with a basketball star. You would take into account that the psychology of the situation. And in this unique case, I believe they have to consider the same thing in Indianapolis. Am I missing the point?
I think you are right about the psychological issue with Carson Wentz. I think you're right. But if you're the Colts, if you believe that Carson Wentz can't handle Nick Foles, a guy who they put up a statue for in Philly, if you think that Carson Wentz can't handle Nick Foles joining his locker room again, you wouldn't sign him, right?
That's
wouldn't trade for him. You wouldn't make that move if you believed he wouldn't be able to handle it.
And Greeny, look, we all have insecurities. I totally get that. But the job description of a quarterback is to be a battlefield commander and to be mentally tough. And Marcus and Kimberly nailed it, which is if he's worried about that, they may have the wrong guy.
Yes.
And guess what? I would ask Carson Wentz, do you want to be 0-5 when you get back?
Yeah.
But if he wasn't worried about that, he wouldn't have been available in the first place, Marcus, is the point I'm making. This is a guy who at one time was playing near MVP-level football, and it all fell apart to the point that the Eagles had to add things to the deal to get rid of him. They had to send him away and ask a team to take him off their hands. That's because of the factor that we're talking about here. So let me ask you this then, Marcus. If the choices are Phillip Rivers, and Phillip Rivers told the LA Times that he's staying ready and he has not completely ruled out coming back. If your choices are Phillip Rivers or Nick Foles right now, Marcus, which way do you go?
Nick Foles. Nick Foles, G. And listen, a part of it, you know, I know we have fun on this show. A part of it is because of the relationship with Frank Reich. And that's the same reason Carson Wentz is in Indy. Because I didn't see a lot of other teams beating the door down to get Carson Wentz in a trade. But this relationship and the rapport was the reason why we think we're optimistic that this will work. So why wouldn't we be optimistic that it wouldn't work with Nick Foles, who they went on to win a Super Bowl with, in the interim when Carson Wentz was coincidentally hurt back in Philly? Listen, I get it, man. I get it. But facts over feelings. And the facts are, in this league, people care about wins and losses more than they care about how you're feeling.
Very quickly, can we take that full shot of Marcus again, Chrissy? Because is anyone else distracted by the fact that there seems to be a helmet hovering and spinning behind him? Is that, am I the only one who's never noticed that before? Marcus, has that always been there?
It's been here, G. You know what? It's subtle, though. It's subtle. And now that you noticed it, is exactly why the display is set up like that. So I love it. It's called the Hover Helmet. I got it years ago. And it's LSU on both sides. It's LSU all day. But that one keeps spinning because I want people to always acknowledge the fact that that's my squad.
Okay, fair enough. I can't be the only one who was saying, is that helmet spinning behind him? Yeah.
I got Dak autographed right here. Y'all want me to come on this damn show and tell y'all I'm worried. I ain't worried. Dak signed right there. He's straight.
And now we all know everything is good. All right, let me take a break. We're coming back with a lot more here, including this. They haven't exactly been in sync in the past. Can Baker and OBJ make it work in Cleveland? And what happens if they don't? We'll dive into that. Plus, it's old school being remade in L.A., LeBron and Melo. Finally together. But are the Lakers too old to win the title? We'll answer those questions and more. We're getting up with you on ESPN. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Back on Get Up, how about a little eye candy? How about $1 million shot in the basketball tournament? This is Kiefer Sykes pulling up for 3 and drilling it. That's $1 million for Boeheim's Army as they win the championship game last night, 69-67. 7 figures on the three-pointer. All right, as we continue, coming up, was Jerry Jones too honest about his team's chances of beating Tampa? Marcus will weigh in on the David versus Goliath opener. Plus, after an offseason of quarterback chaos, which quarterback is under the most pressure to win right now? We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It never ceases to be fun to watch, and neither does he. It's Marcus Spears, the big Swagoo. We'll hear what people said, and then he'll tell you what they actually meant. So, Marcus, first up, we have the great Patrick Mahomes talking about some of the incredible throws he himself has made throughout his career. Here's what he said.
There has been times and situations in games where I've done stuff, and it's really caught me off guard, I guess you'd say. I remember the Denver left-handed pass thing. That was nothing I had planned. It was like last second I threw it. I remember in Tennessee when I jumped, I was just trying to get my legs out from under me so I didn't get kind of sandwiched in there, and I jumped it through the ball. But I mean, I just try to do whatever. I just try to compete. I think that's the end of the day. What I do is I just compete and try to win. And sometimes stuff happens I'm not planning.
So that's what he says. What does Swagoo say?
Basically, Patty Mac was telling us, guys, I'm great. Like, what do you want me to say? I'm great. I do great things. I don't surprise myself. I know I can do these things. I'm going to be the best to ever do it when I walk away. I plan on going undefeated. But y'all keep interviewing me and asking me, do I think I'm good or do I think I'm pretty good? No, I'm great. I'm telling y'all and I'm showing y'all. So I'm pleading that y'all stop asking me, how do I do these things? I do these things because I'm great and no one else can do them. That's it.
In 100 years, they've been playing the game 100 years. We've never seen anyone do the stuff that he does.
Yes.
The way he does it. I'm with you. He's the most entertaining player in the sport. All right, next up is the Bears' Nick Foles. We've talked a lot about him today. He's their third string quarterback. He was recently asked about a potential trade to the Colts. Here's what he said.
Listen, Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person, but we haven't had any talks, so right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
That's what Nick Foles said. What does Swagoo say?
Gee, there is something in text messaging that lets you know, or a person you're trying to pursue, that you want to holler at them. And that first initial thing you got to do is say, hey, big head. And that's what Nick Foles just said to Frank Reich. Hey, big head, call me. I'm available. I'm sitting over here stewing in the third spot. I know all of the stuff y'all talking about with Carson Wentz and how he gonna feel. But Frank, we did win a Super Bowl. I got a statue. Hit me up, man. Man, call me. Call me, big head. I'm trying to come over there and take care of y'all for the first 5 weeks. Just give me a call.
Are you saying the words big head?
Yes.
Hey, big head.
Yes.
That's how they holler at each other now, G. That's how the young ones, that's how they start the conversation to let you know you like them. Hey, big head. I don't know why, but that's what they do.
I'll send my wife a text that starts with, hey, big head. Let's see how that flies at home.
All right. Yeah.
Last one. We have Cowboys owner Jerry Jones discussing the season opening matchup for Dallas against the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here's what Jerry said.
We're going to have a lot of prayer so that we can get the courage to show up. Let me tell you this. World champion, Tom Brady, Tampa, great atmosphere. What a better opportunity to step up there.
Yes, sir.
And beat David against Goliath.
That's what your guy Jerry said. Marcus, what do you say?
And this has been your morning marketing message from the great Jerry Jones, who knows how to sell anything. This is the antithesis of boxing, G. This is what they do. That's Jerry. As much as Stephen A. hates it, as much as everybody hates it, and as much as you be running your dribble about the Cowboys are always successful in July, you're damn right. Because we got the ultimate marketer. Now we got to win some damn games, and don't make no smart remarks. That's what Jerry telling y'all. Let us be David versus Goliath, because everybody rooting for us anyway.
Okay, I love it. I mean, that one I fully agree with. And in fact, I want to bring it out to the table here because we got ourselves thinking. The Cowboys, everyone, a lot of people anyway, have very high hopes and expectations for them. But who is the most important person? Doesn't have to necessarily be a player. Who's the most important person for the Cowboys this season? Kimberly.
I know the obvious answer is Dak. I know people will say that. My answer is Mike McCarthy. Because this falls under him.
Ooh.
This team, the defense, the offense. No, Mike Nolan. He's gone now. Why was he on the team? Mike McCarthy brought him in. So I think overall, how we handle Dak's situation, how you handle the improvements that need to happen, it's all on McCarthy.
All right, the coach under the microscope. Swagoo, how about you? Who's the most important person for the Cowboys this year?
Yeah, G, I know you said person. I ain't going to follow the rules. I'm going to go people. And that's the linebacker core for the Dallas Cowboys. That is Leighton Van Der Esch. That is Jalen Smith. And that's Micah Parsons, their newly drafted linebacker. Listen, this defense was so out of whack last year. And when you look at talent, when you look at guys that can make explosive plays and change the dynamic of this defense, it's that linebacking core. I feel like Dallas got a little bit of work to do still up front in the middle. I hope these guys emerge and play at a very high level. But these three linebackers have an opportunity to be as good as any unit in the NFL. They got to get it right. Leighton staying healthy, Jalen back in more of a natural spot, understanding what to do, and Micah Parsons, based on his draft ability and his athletic ability, should be high. These are the three most important outside of that.
Parsons probably the consensus best defensive player in this year's draft. All right, Mike T, who's the most important person on the Cowboys this year?
Dak Prescott.
I mean, low-hanging
fruit. I'm going to use two numbers. They won 6 games last year, and he only played in 5 the whole year. Mm-hmm. They're paying him $40 million for a reason. In my opinion, he is a top-5 elite difference-making quarterback. Let's hope that right shoulder's okay, because I predicted them to beat Tampa. Me and Jerry Jones may be the only two that think that on opening day, but that's how good Dak Prescott is.
So you're siding with David over Goliath. We'll see. And for me, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the conversation. The most important person on the Cowboys is Jerry Jones.
Right.
Because whether they win 3 games this year or 13 games this year, we're going to talk about them every single week. We always do. They're the only team that when we talk about them, we put up on the screen, last won the Super Bowl in 1996. We talk about the Jets. We never say last won the Super Bowl in 1968.
Yeah.
Why? Because nobody cares. But everybody cares about the Dallas Cowboys. And I put Jerry Jones up there because he's the most obvious personification of that, but you could go all the way back and put Tom Landry's fedora on there, because it goes back to that.
Yep.
That everyone is talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Swagoo, sit tight, because I want to come to you on the next topic here, because I got to go through the basketball, which Swagoo knows and loves as well as anybody. I want to run the floor because it was a busy day yesterday. Oh, how about Steph Curry? He's agreed to a 4-year, $215 million extension with Golden State, which makes him, at the age of 33, the first player ever to sign two $200 million contracts. Elsewhere in Chicago, the Bulls finalizing a sign-and-trade. They're bringing in DeMar DeRozan from San Antonio. He'll get a 3-year, $85 million deal. Remember, they've also added Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso, and they're trying to keep Zach LaVine. And then the biggest star in the conversation, Carmelo Anthony, teaming up with his close friend LeBron James in L.A. with a 1-year deal with the Lakers. The 18-year veteran averaged 13 a game off the bench for Portland last season. So what does this say about the Lakers? Well, it says they're old. They now have 6 players on the roster over the age of 35. You look at their projected starting 5, only Anthony Davis will be under the age of 32. As currently constructed, they would be the oldest team in NBA history, according to Elias. So let me bring in a man who knows and loves the Lakers as much as anybody, and that is Marcus. What is your reaction to all these moves that they've made? Very simply, are the Lakers a championship team this year?
Yes, they are, G. Yes, they are. And listen, okay, let me get something out there. I'm a LeBron fan, so at the moment, I'm a Lakers fan. But most importantly, my team is the Pelicans. I had to say that, G, because you're going to have people in my messages talking about you a Laker fan. When the hell that happened? I'm a Pelicans fan, but I like to see LeBron win. All right, let's get to the Lakers, and let's get to LeBron. I get it. I understand what people are saying about age. But, G, this is the year. This is the year where you and Jalen Rose are going to get on television and hate everything. everything about what the Lakers are doing in the regular season, because load management will be a name and something you have to remember. This is about getting this team to the playoffs. It ain't about a damn seed. It ain't about none of that. It's about getting into the playoffs. Not a play-in game. It's about getting to the playoffs. So you add Russ. So when Bron leaves, Russ can take over and they can continue scoring points. That was the issue for the Lakers last year. Didn't have that facilitator. They brought in Melo. Knock down jumpers, Melo. That's it. I love Nunn. I love Ariza coming over for a defensive presence and a guy that can score like sparingly throughout the season. Yes, yes, yes. Dwight back in the fold as well to give AD a break so he doesn't have to guard the five or play the five all the time. I love everything the Lakers did. Load management is going to be a part of their season before you start tripping, G, and they are going to get in the playoffs and be fresh and ready to go. They'll figure this synergy out and how to work together and with each other. And look, man, look, G, let me say this before we end it. We all want to see the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets in the finals. And if you say you don't, you're lying. You don't want to watch basketball, ultimately, if that's not the matchup you want to see. I'm going to leave it at that.
LeBron against Kyrie and Russell Westbrook against Kevin Durant. Sign us up for that right now.
Sign
that is well
up.
Done, Swagger.
Gee, you going to buy my tickets because I can't afford them. You okay. And Stephen A. going to buy my tickets because I can't afford them.
All right, we'll see what happens. I'll talk to Steve about it a little later. We'll see how that works. Meanwhile, ESPN 8 The Ocho is back for the fifth straight year with even wackier events from around the world of sports, among them air hockey, grocery bagging, the mullet championships, the air guitar championships, the world cornhole championship, all that and more. It's The Ocho starting Friday at midnight and going for 24 hours on ESPN2 and the ESPN app, one app, one tap. Coming up, they haven't exactly been in sync. Can Baker and Beckham make it work in Cleveland? And what happens if they don't? We'll talk about that with Dan Graziano, who will join us live from Cleveland. And we can't bring in Dan without this. Sneaky Hembo, who is the last Browns quarterback to win a season opener? Graziano takes his shot live from Cleveland next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back, and Dan Graziano live in Cleveland going head-to-head with Sneaky Hembo. The question's about the Browns. Dan, who was the last Browns quarterback to win a season opener?
As we all know, the building behind me is dripping with wonderful history. Look, the year is 2004. I know that. It's been that long since they won the opener. What I don't know is who the quarterback was. It was post-Tim Couch and post-Testaverde. I think it was either Kelly Holcomb or Jeff Garcia. And I have to guess. I'm going to guess Jeff Garcia.
Oh, my God. He got it right again. That is unbelievable. He's incredible. Jeff Garcia is correct. He got the year right. He got everything right.
I almost went with Holcomb.
Yeah. It was Jeff Garcia in 2004. Cleveland, by the way, is a 6-point underdog this year, week one against Kansas City. Graziano was running up the score on Hembo. Look at him, up 9 points, if you will. It's more than one score now. It's a 2-score game between Graziano and Hembo. Let's talk more, meanwhile, about the current quarterback in Cleveland. He's going to try and break that streak, and that's Baker Mayfield. Expectations super high after a very good 2020. They went to the playoffs. They beat Pittsburgh there. Graziano again with us live from camp. And so you're there sort of asking a bunch of questions. There are very high expectations externally for the Cleveland Browns this year, which is not commonplace. How would you describe the expectations internally?
Look, I think they feel good about themselves. But, Greeny, I think what the big thing they have working for them here is kind of the the even-keel demeanor of the people in charge, right? I mean, Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, Andrew Berry, the GM. I mean, there's a tone here of sort of quiet, confident professionalism. They know what they have to work on. They know they're putting together a whole new defense, basically personnel-wise, because they added so many pieces. They think they'll be better on that side of the ball. They feel good about the way the offense finished the season, and they think that will continue to improve. You know, because this time last year, they hadn't had much of an offseason. Baker Mayfield was learning the new offense, and it wasn't really till the second half of the season that that got going. But when I talked to Kevin Stefanski yesterday, he sounded very upbeat about Baker and where he is in his continued development, and all signs are positive heading into the season on that front, at least.
Well, you mentioned they didn't get going till the second half of the season, and coincidentally or not, that man that we've been watching on the screen there for the last few moments, Odell Beckham, was not there for the second half of the season as he got injured. What are you hearing from the people you talk to about the impact OBJ's return will have on that offense?
So they believe a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. would give them a significant downfield, take the top off the defense type of threat that they didn't have last year, even when they were functioning at a high level as an offense. Now, the question is, of course, his health. He's coming off the ACL. He didn't do anything in practice. Yes, he stood on the sidelines. And actually, between plays and team periods, when Baker Mayfield had the play off, he was very often talking to Odell, and they're kind of pantomiming and going through, you know, routes and sets and all that kind of stuff. So he's getting a lot of that kind of work with Baker. Stefanski told me of Odell, we're bringing him along appropriately. He said, I don't want to say slowly, because he is doing a lot of work, and Stefanski expects him to do some team drills next week. You know, is week one possible? Yes, they'll rely on the doctors for that. But in the meantime, Odell's doing as much work as he can with Baker just to make sure to get as many reps as his knee will allow as it continues to heal.
That's right. And an important reminder that it is not guaranteed that Beckham will be back for the beginning of the season. He tore the ACL midway through the season. Dan, I want to keep you there, but I want to bring Marcus into the conversation, Chrissy, if we can, because a little earlier today, because so much of the discussion is about Odell right now. And Marcus, I want Dan to hear a little bit of this, because you made the point earlier, and I'll give you the floor here, that when you hear some of the questioning of Odell and his team firstness and all the rest of that, that it brings you back to when you played with Terrell Owens. I'd love you to share that with Danny and anyone who wasn't with us earlier this morning.
Yeah, it's just this big misconception, and it's this narrative that tries to get created because, one, these guys are great, but they're passionate about their job. So this the whole idea that OBJ is going to come back and he'll be selfish, he's going to want the ball, and he's going to complain if he's not getting enough catches is a false narrative. Obviously, he wants to produce. Obviously, he wants to be a big part of the success for the Cleveland Browns. But talking to OBJ teammates and me knowing him, this dude is not regarded as a bad teammate or a problem within the locker room. And the whole narrative that was around, well, Baker is a better quarterback without OBJ, and we don't ever give out the fact that Stefanski and Baker were also trying to gel and mesh, and you go to the best when you're trying to figure things out. So this was a product of Baker saying, hey, I got a guy that's elite that can get open, and while I'm still learning this Stefanski system and getting acclimated to what I'm being asked to do as a quarterback, I'm going to focus on getting the ball to the guy that I know is dynamic and a playmaker, and 9 times out of 10 is going to make me right. So the whole narrative about OBJ coming back and it's going to throw off the things that they've been doing offensively because Baker is going to be trying to force feed him the ball, and if he's not, OBJ is going to be upset about it and it's going to cause some kind of rift. It's just a lie. It's never been the case. Every teammate that I've talked to at OBJ has talked about how great of a teammate and a team guy he is. He just expects himself to perform at a high level, and when he doesn't, you see some of the responses to his own performance, not people around him.
Danny, you're well aware of that narrative, obviously. We've talked about it a lot here over the course of the year. What do the people there say when you bring it up to them?
Yeah, this is why I always tell people Marcus Spears is one of the finest and most astute and intelligent football minds of our generation, because he's right on. I mean, this is like, I covered Odell Beckham when he was a rookie with the Giants. Like, teammates have always liked him. And I was talking to J.C. Treader yesterday, the Browns center, and he said when we got Odell, you know, you hear a lot of things about this guy. He said, you know, we called our offensive lineman friends that were on the Giants and asked about him, and he said they couldn't believe how positive they were, how upbeat they were about Odell Beckham as a teammate, that they absolutely loved him. And that has been the case throughout his career. He might have had some issues here and there with a coach or two, but the teammates have consistently loved him. And Marcus, to add to your point, I don't think it's entirely about Odell wanting the ball. I think what bothers Odell the most is losing, and he's done a lot of it since he got into the NFL.
Yep.
The only two teams he's ever been on that had winning seasons were that one Giants team that went to the playoffs with Ben McAdoo, and then last year's Browns team, which, of course, he didn't get to finish the season. Those are the only two seasons since he's been in the league that he was on a team that had a winning record. I think if this Browns team is as good as they think they are and as good as we think they are, and he's healthy, he'll be a big and positive part of it.
So super quick, let me get Kimberly and Mike T in here. Kimberly, your sense. Odell, does he have a big year this year for Cleveland?
Yeah, just because of the playmaker that he is. And a couple of years ago, Baker talked about not wanting guys understand that there's only one ball. But I think there's enough chances, enough playmakers that there'll be opportunities for Odell to make some big plays and turn some games around.
Greedy, not only will he have a big year, but he's going to create production for others because he's going to take two. So we may be talking about Donovan Peoples-Jones, Austin Hooper. Somebody else will benefit from his presence on the field.
And maybe opening up the running game, which at the end of the day should be the bread and butter of that offense anyway. Graziano, well done. He knocks out Hembo even from the distance today. Super well done here. Meanwhile, our Wednesday night baseball tonight features two teams trying to make playoff pushes. Braves, Cardinals. Coverage starts 8 Eastern on ESPN. And the ESPN app, one tap. We've got more to do, and then First Take follows us. Should the Lakers be favorites to win a title over the Nets? Are the Warriors threats to win the West? We'll answer those questions and more. It's First Take. It's 6 minutes away here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, as we wrap up with Get Up today, Philip Rivers in the LA Times saying he's staying ready. It's got to be the right situation, but he's not completely ruled out coming back and playing this year. I got 1 minute left. Marcus, I will start with you. Will we see Philip Rivers on an NFL field this season? Yes or no?
No, sir. No, sir. And for the sake of quickness, again, G, no, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Kimberly.
No, we've seen this movie. It's over. The credits have rolled.
Agreed. It is over. And by the way, if he came back, Greeny, what is it going to cost? He's not coming back for the minimum.
I disagree. Ooh. That's a man who hasn't won a championship, who always had a little Brett Favre in him, I think. And remember, Brett Favre kept retiring and coming back and retiring and coming back, and he's going to be coaching high school football. And if some team out there needs him, like maybe the one in Indianapolis, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised at some point this season to see Philip Rivers come back and take one
point,
more run.
Philip got a lot of kids. Extra checks don't ever hurt in that situation.
All right, this has been a great morning. Thank you for getting up with us. Thank you guys for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.